Jimenez. We're there in Joshua 14. And before I begin, of course, I want to thank Pastor Jimenez for the opportunity to be up here and allow me to preach. And so we're there in Joshua 14. And in Joshua 14, we see the children of Israel. They are now in the promised land. And in Joshua 14, we see an interaction between Joshua and someone who I want to highlight for you tonight. And that person is Caleb. So you're there in Joshua 14. Look at verse number 6. Joshua 14, 6. The Bible says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart." So here we have Caleb going to Joshua. And of course, Caleb and Joshua were two of the 12 spies that Moses sent into the promised land. And here we see Caleb going to Joshua, and he's reminding him, he's saying, "Hey, I was 40 years old when I went with you." Notice verse number 10. Notice what he says. "And now behold, verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85 years old. So here we have Caleb saying that I'm now 85 years old. And so that Caleb was a man who actually made it into the promised land. Whereas Caleb and Joshua, you know, that generation, they didn't make it to the promised land. But Caleb was a man who was able to make it through. And not just that, notice what he says in verse 11. He says, as yet, notice, I am as strong this day as I was that the Moses strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And so we see Caleb telling Joshua that he is as strong today as he was back when he was only 40 years old. Here we have an old man, Caleb, who he's now 85 years old. He's going to Joshua. He says, "Joshua, I'm as strong today as I was back when I was just an 85-year-old man." You know, and I don't know about you, but this is the kind of man that I want to be. You know, when I'm 85 years old, I want to be able to say, "Hey, I'm as strong now today as I was back when I was 40 years old." And so we see that Caleb was a man who God sustained, that God gave him strength, and he allowed him to continue that strength throughout his whole life. You know, and that should encourage you, some people who are older, and you feel like you're feeling a little weaker, but you know what? You could still be strong in the faith. You know, God can still give you strength in your old age through your faith, and this is the example that you and I should have. But not just that, we see that Caleb was a man who not only was strong physically and spiritually, we see that Caleb, even in his old age, was a man who had great vision in his life. Joshua 14, look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "Now therefore," notice, "give me this mountain." And this, of course, is that phrase where we get that famous song, "I want that mountain, that mountain." He said, "Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." So we see Caleb, a man who not only was strong spiritually, but he was a man who at 85 years old, he still had a great vision for the things of God. He goes to Joshua and says, "You know what? I want that mountain." And that mountain, Mount Hebron, notice what it says. It says that it's where the Anakims were. Here we have where the giants are. And it's a place, notice, where the cities were great and fenced. This was a fortified city. You know, Caleb wasn't asking for something easy. When he said, "I want that mountain," he said, "You know what? Yeah, I see the giants. Yeah, I see the fortified cities. Yeah, I see the opposition." And here he says, "You know what? That's what I want." He says, "If the Lord will be with me," notice, "then I shall be able to drive them out." And you have to picture, this man is an 85-year-old man. You know, I don't know how he looked, but, you know, this guy still wants to pick a fight with some giants. And he says, "You know, hey, I can still take these guys." And so this is a guy who I want to be like, a guy who continues to have great vision for the things of God. He plays in Joshua 14. We go to Numbers 14, if you would, Numbers chapter 14. And not just that, but we see that God also, that Caleb stood out to the Lord as well. That Caleb was a man who stood out to God. Caleb was someone who was different than most people in the sight of the Lord. You're going to Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14, look at verse number 22. Numbers 14, 22. Here we have God speaking to Moses, and God says this. He says, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice," verse 23, "surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." We have God telling Caleb that all those people who would not obey my voice, who would not believe my word, those people, they will not go into the promised land. But notice what he says about Caleb in verse 24. He says, notice, but my servant Caleb. It says, because he had another spirit with him. You see, God says, you know what, Caleb, though, Caleb was different than most people. Caleb was a different guy. He had a different spirit. He had a different attitude about him. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess him. So you see, Caleb is a man who had this can-do attitude, who had a spirit that says, you know what, I can't do this. Caleb was a man who looked at a mountain that was filled with giants, that was filled with fenced cities, and he says, you know, even though I'm 85, you know what, I'm still going to take that mountain. I still want that. See, Caleb had this can-do attitude about him in life. And when God looked down, he said, no, Caleb was different than most people. See, most people don't have this can-do attitude, this attitude that wants to achieve something in life. But see, Caleb was different, and he had this can-do attitude. And tonight I'm preaching on having an attitude that says, I can do it. Having a can-do attitude, having a positive attitude about the battles that come in your life, about the struggles, about the Christian life. You ought to have this attitude that says, you know what, you can have victory. An attitude that says, yeah, I want that mountain. You see, it's easy to say why you can't do something. It's easy to find the negative in things. As Christians, we should strive to have an attitude that says, no, we can do this. And you know, what does it look like to have a can-do attitude? A can-do attitude means that you're positive about your ability to achieve success. Having a can-do attitude, it shows that you're positive about your own ability to achieve success. And look, isn't that what we want as Christians? You know, I don't know about you, but in my life, you know, I want to have success in my life. You know, and if we'd ask you, of course, you want to succeed. Nobody goes into life and says, you know, I want to fail. But the truth is, you know, the Christian life is difficult. You know, it's not easy to be a Christian in this wicked world. But you know what? We can have that success. You can have success in your home, in your marriage, in your child rearing, at your workforce. Look, you got to have this attitude that says, I can't succeed. And get rid of an attitude that's this defeatist attitude that says, I can't do it. No, you can't do it. If God says you can do it, then you can do it. So tonight, I want to highlight this person, Caleb, this man who had this can-do attitude. And there's three things I want to point out to you about having this can-do attitude. Go to Numbers 13, if you want, Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers 13. So the first thing I want to point out is that a can-do attitude sees potential. A can-do attitude sees potential. An attitude that says it can be done, an attitude that says we can do this, this attitude, what they see is potential. What they see is what can be. You're there in Numbers 13. And in Numbers 13, here we have Moses sending the 12 spies into the promised land. Numbers 13, like verse number 17, it says those, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, notice, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And so notice the command is just to go into the land, just to go look at the land. See, God already told them, I'm going to give you this mountain. And Moses just said, hey, just go look. Give me the report. And notice what it says in verse 25. So the spies come back in verse 25. It says, notice, and they returned from searching of the land 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran. Look at verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us. Notice, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. You know, it sounds good. They come back and say, hey, the land's beautiful. The land flows with milk and honey. But notice what happens when people have this can't-do defeatist attitude. Verse 28, notice what it says. It says, nevertheless, it says, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Notice, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And so here we see people with this can't-do attitude. First they say, oh, it's beautiful, but there's problems. But there's opposition. See, there's always going to be a reason for you not to do something in life. Like when it comes to the Christian life, you'll find a reason why you're going to want to quit. You'll find a reason why you don't want to go soul winning. You'll find a reason for whatever in life, in whatever area you need to succeed in. Like there's always a reason in life not to succeed. There's always a reason in life to have this attitude that says, we can't do it. It can't be done. Not just that, but look at verse number 31. People with a can't do attitude always point out why something cannot be done. In verse 31, notice what they said in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, notice, we be not able to go up against the people. You know, it's funny, but they haven't even tried to go, and they're just already deciding, you know what, we can't do it. I was like, well, did you even try? Did you not hear what God said that you can do it? But people with a can't-do attitude, people say, we can't do it, they will just decide. before they even try it, to find excuses, to find reasons why something cannot be done. Notice what it says, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And look, there's always, you'll always find a reason to not do something. You know, in your home, in your marriage, look, you will find a reason to not be the spouse that God wants you to be. You know, as a child, you'll always find a reason to want to disobey your parents. You know, at work, there will always be a reason to not want to obey the boss. Look, there's always a reason to not do what you're supposed to do, to have this can't-do attitude in your life. But not just that, people with a can't-do attitude, what they do is they convince themselves, they lie to themselves as to why something cannot be done. Notice what it says in verse 32. Notice what it says. It says, and they, notice what they do, and they brought up, notice, an evil report of the land. See, now they're making excuses. First they come, they say, oh, this land is beautiful. This land floweth with milk and honey. But now what do they do? Now they're making up excuses, convincing themselves in their own mind why something can't be done. It says, they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. It's funny, just a few verses before, it was a beautiful land, a land that flowed with milk and honey. They saw the fruit, but now, the land is dangerous. The land's going to kill you now. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, notice, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. Now they're just exaggerating. Look, these people, they're making up things to convince themselves, not just themselves, but also other people, why something can't be done. And look, don't be this person with this can't-do attitude that just makes up things in your mind to convince yourself why you can't do something. Look, in your home, look, you'll find a reason in your spouse to not be the spouse that you should be. But you know, God says you should still be that spouse. You know, in your home, parents, kids, you always find a reason in your parents not to obey your parents, but like, you should still obey your parents. At work, there's always a reason not to do something. Like in the Christian life, you'll always find a reason not to go soul winning, not to be three of the five. There's always going to be a reason, but look, this is a can't-do attitude, and you're just convincing yourself why it cannot be done. Well, if you would keep your place there in Numbers 13, and go to 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, look, in life, we must choose to not be people who make excuses for why something cannot be done. And if you're the person who says you can't do something, why something can't be done, well, then don't worry. Guess what? You'll never do it. Look, because you're just not going to do it. People who say, well, I can never go soul winning because that's just not me. Well, don't worry. You're never going to go. If you're the person who says, well, I can't be three to thrive. I can't live for God. Well, don't worry. You won't with that attitude. We shouldn't have. And look, something that recently stuck out to my head that Pastor recently mentioned in a sermon. You know, Pastor recently said in a sermon that, you know, we should be living our lives thinking about the judgment seat of Christ. He said you should live your life in preparation for that day. And, you know, ever since he said that keeps sticking in my head. And I want you to notice what it says about that in verse number 9, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 9. Notice what it says. It says, wherefore we labor. Notice that whether present or absent, notice, we may be accepted of him. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Notice what it says, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. See, the Bible says that God is going to judge us according to what we have done. And I wonder how many excuses are people going to have that day as to why they couldn't do something. But you know, it's funny, but God's not going to reward you based on your good excuse. Because guess what? I'm sure you have a good excuse. Everyone has a good excuse why they can't do something for the Lord. But God says, no, I'm going to reward you based on what you did do. See, as a Christian, you got to realize if you're in this church, God's going to base your rewards. Hey, what did you do with what's been given to you in this church? You know, did you even take time to apply the sermon in your life? You know, God's not going to reward you. And he's going to say, well, I was there. You know, I couldn't apply it because I was just so busy with work. I was so busy with this. Look, you'll have an excuse, but excuses are not going to hold up to anything. And you can have an excuse, but don't worry. If you have an excuse, guess what? You're probably not going to do it. Go back to Numbers 13, if you Numbers chapter 13. See, our excuses will not hold up with God. We should not be people who live our lives making excuses. But see, Caleb was different. Caleb was not a person who had this can't-do attitude. No, Caleb was a man who had a can-do attitude in his life. See, a can-do attitude, what do they see? They see potential. They see what could be. They look beyond the obstacles, and they find solutions. Notice what Caleb says in verse number 30. It says, notice, Numbers 13, verse 30, it says, notice, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Here we have Caleb bringing what? Bringing some stability to the situation. He said, calm down. He stilled the people. Notice what it says. And said, notice, let us go up at once and possess it. Notice, for we are well able to overcome it. See, while most people find excuses as to why something can't be done, no, Caleb saw, he saw some potential. He said, no, we can do this. He said, let's just go now. Let's just get it done now. See, Caleb sees the potential as to how things can be done. See, if you have a can-do attitude, what you will do is you will see a vision for your life. You will see a vision for how something can be. See, and if you're struggling in some area in your life, you ought to get a vision for that area and see what can be in that life. You know, if you're struggling at your job, how good, how can it be though in your job? In your home, well, do you have a vision for how it can be in your home? In your Christian walk, do you have a vision for how it can be in your Christian walk? You ought to get a vision and just realize, hey, you know, it can be done. They said, let's go up at once. Let's do this now. See, people with a can-do attitude, they see what can be. They look beyond the obstacles and they say, you know what? We can't do this. Let's go get this done. He said, he's still the people. Notice, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Go to Numbers 14, if you would. Numbers chapter 14. Look, and people with a can-do attitude, with a positive attitude, they could see the exact same situation in a complete different way than other people. See, people with a negative attitude, that things just can't be done, they will look at the same situation in a completely different light. I want you to notice what Caleb says in Numbers 14. Numbers 14, 7. Notice it says, and they there is Caleb and Joshua, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. I want you to notice that the people, they were saying, oh, no, that land, it'll eat up the inhabitants thereof. That land is not for you. That land is dangerous. It'll kill you. But Caleb said, no, this is an exceeding good land. This is what God wants for us. This is a good thing. It says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. See, the other people are saying, no, we can't do it. It can't be done. No, Caleb said, no. This situation, we can do this. It can be done. Verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. I want you to notice that Caleb looked at these giants, and he said, these people, they're just bread. I'm going to eat them alive, is what he's saying. While other people say, no, they're going to kill us. No, Caleb said, no, they're nothing to me. I'll eat them, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. He said, fear them not. See, having a can-do attitude will help you put life into perspective. You know, that Christian life, which, yeah, it is difficult, but if you would focus on the positives, then you can do it. If you look beyond the hard times and get a vision for what you can be in the future, what God has for you, then you know what? Yeah, it can be done. You know, in your home, in your life, just get this can-do attitude. Look beyond the obstacles and get a vision for what can be in your life. Go to, keep your place, go to Leviticus 26. If you go to Leviticus chapter 26. And what I love about the Bible is that the Bible is constantly giving us a hope, an attitude that says that things can be done. See, the Bible will take things that are impossible and make them possible. Because, you know, humanly speaking, you know, life is difficult. You know, even this Sunday morning sermon about being a one-income family, about having your wife stay at home, like, it's difficult. It's hard being a one-income family, but you know what? It's possible. It can be done. But see, the Bible gives us hope. The Bible takes things that are impossible and it makes it possible. Notice what it says in Leviticus 26 and verse 6. It says, notice, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall a sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Notice what it says in verse 8. Notice, and five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. See, God gives us this can-do spirit as you read the Bible. God says, you know what? I could put 100 people in front of five, and those five, they'll win. I could put 1,000 in front of 100, and those 100 will win. But see, you and I, what we do is we focus on the physical, on the negative. We say, well, how can five people defeat 100? It's just not going to happen. No, but God says, yeah, no, you can do it. God says, I can do it. So you got to get this can-do attitude in your life. Go to 2 Corinthians 1, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. See, a can-do attitude, they see what can be. They get a vision for their life. They look beyond the obstacles, and they find solutions for how to get things done. And look, when it comes to the promises of God, you got to realize that if God promises something, then look, then it can be done in your life. 2 Corinthians 1, look at verse number 20. Notice what it says. It says, notice, for all the promises of God in verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him, notice, are yea. Notice, and in him, what? Amen. Unto the glory of God by us. See, the Bible says all the promises of God. It doesn't say, oh, it's a maybe. It's I hope so. Maybe you'll succeed. No, the Bible says, no, all the promises of God in him, notice, are yea, and in him, amen. See, there is a can-do attitude. To realize that in the Christian life, yeah, you can succeed in the Christian life. If you're struggling with some sin, God says, no, he can help you defeat that sin. You got to get this can-do attitude in your life. Why? Because this is the only way to succeed. If you're a person who has this can't-do attitude, then don't worry, you won't do it. Then don't worry, you won't succeed. But get this can-do attitude that says, no, I can succeed. That says, no, I can have victory. That says, I can live for the Lord. Go back to Numbers 13, if you would. Numbers chapter number 13. See, the can-do attitude, they see potential. They see what could be. They look beyond the obstacles and they find solutions in life. And you got to focus on the positives. Because in life, it's real simple. It's real easy to focus on the negatives of life and the difficulties, because it can't get difficult. But if you look beyond those obstacles, then you'll be able to succeed in the Christian life. Numbers 13, verse 30, again, notice, again, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You got to develop this attitude that says, know what? Yeah, we can do this. Hey, pastor said we're going to knock out every door in Sacramento. Then guess what? Yeah, let's do this. We can do this. You know, if pastor says we're gonna expand the building, then guess what? Let's do it. Let's roll up our sleeves. It can be done. It can all be done. You say, my home isn't the way it should be. Well, guess what? It can be if you just choose to make it that way. But not only that, a can-do attitude, not only do they see potential, but a can-do attitude inspires potential. A can-do attitude inspires potential. Go to Numbers 14, if you would. Numbers 13, go to Numbers 14. I want you to understand that having a bad attitude, a negative can't-do attitude, it'll discourage those around you. Having a negative attitude that says it can't be done, you'll affect those around you. Numbers 14, I want you to notice what a negative can't-do attitude, what it does to people. Notice what it says. Notice, and all the congregation, notice, lifted up their voice and cried. I want you to notice the whole people, the congregation, they just heard what they said. They said, look, this land, it eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They just heard people say, look, there's giants there. It can't happen there. It's going to be difficult. It cannot be done. And notice what the people do. They lift up their voice and they're crying. They believe it. Notice, and the people wept that night. Verse 2, notice what they do. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. It's funny, but like, it's like nothing's happened. Like, you haven't done anything. But they're saying, man, it's better if we were dead. It's like, well, nothing happened. Like, people just said, it's not going to happen. You're going to die, but nothing happened. See, people with a can't-do attitude, they can influence other people. They can cause people to have that same negative, I can't do it attitude. Notice what it says. And wherefore, verse 3, hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Like, these people, they'd rather die. They'd rather go back. But it's like, well, nothing's happened. You just heard how it was. But see, this is what happens. People with a negative, discouraging attitude, they can affect those around them. There's a quote that I saw online. It says, stay away from negative people. They have problems for every solution. Look, people who are just negative, as they point out why things can't be done, look, they'll find a problem in anything. If God says, no, we can do this, then just let's just do it. You know, it's just like, don't find the, look beyond the negatives, but and just find the positives. Go to Joshua 14 again, Joshua 14. But see, negativity, it can spread. Negativity is like a virus. It'll just spread. And this can't-do attitude, it'll discourage those around you. Joshua 14, look at verse number 8. It says, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. See, Caleb said those people, they made the heart of the people do what? They made it to melt. And like, you got to realize that in whatever area you find yourself, whether it's in a church, whether it's in your home, whether it's at work, look, you can be the person who brings negativity, who brings this can't-do attitude, this defeatist attitude into that home or into that job or into that church. See, why? Because negativity spreads. And look, negativity spreads faster than positivity. This is why the news, that what do they do? They sell you negativity. They sell you fear. Why? Because it spreads. And this can't-do attitude, it's not healthy. It's not good. You know, that's why the Bible says, hey, make no friendship with an angry man. Why? Because they'll make you angry. They'll affect you. That's why the Bible says, hey, cast out the scorner, and guess what? Contentions will cease. Why? Because negativity spreads. And, you know, don't hang around forward people. Why? Because, look, when you're just negative, if you're just this negative person, guess what? You will make people around you negative. And, you know, in my home, I don't want my kids to grow up just to be these negative people. But guess what? They will be if they see dad being negative all the time. Look, at your job, you know, if your boss says, hey, we have this plan, we're going to do this, then let's do it. But if you're the person who says, no, it can't be done, then guess what? You're just going to influence those around you. Be the team player that says, no, it can't be done. Let's do this and encourage those around you. Go to Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1, look at verse number 27. Deuteronomy 1, 27, the Bible says, notice, and he murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, Deuteronomy 1, 27, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Verse 28, whither shall we go up? Notice what it says, our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Again, notice what it says. It says, our brethren, notice, have discouraged our heart. And look, when we come to church, you know, we come to church to get what? To be inspired, to get a can-do attitude. And this is why the preaching works. Why? Because we give hope to the hopeless. Because there is hope. We give you a vision for what can be. I mean, could you imagine coming to church and just pastor preaching how, oh, you know what, soul winning, it just can't be done. I mean, it's like you're living for God. Guess what? It's just not going to happen. It's just this negative. Who's going to be inspired by that? It's just going to cause you to leave and to be probably negative yourself. But if you hear, no, it can be done, guess what? You'll probably think, yeah, it can be done. If you think, hey, we can do this, then yeah, you're probably going to think we can do this. Go back to Joshua 15, if we're Joshua 15. So we shouldn't have this can't-do attitude. Why? Because a can't-do attitude, you can infect other people. But a can-do attitude, it inspires potential. Go to Joshua 15. And I find it interesting that most people, because here we have the majority of people saying why something can't be done. You know, something at work, you know, pastor is always telling me, like, if there's a problem, look, there's a solution to the problem if you're willing to find it. He's always, and when things come up and I say, pastor, it can't be done. He said, well, look harder, you know, and find a solution. And guess what? There's a solution there if you're just willing to look for it. But if you have this can't-do, and this is why people have a can't-do attitude, because it's easier to have a can't-do attitude. Look, it's easier to not do something. It's easier to say, I can't raise my kids the way I'm supposed to. And guess what? You won't, because it's easier just to say no. But you ought to be the person who has this can-do attitude. And look, Caleb was a man who stood up because Caleb inspired potential in those around him. Caleb inspired his family to have a can-do attitude. Joshua 15, look at verse number 14. Joshua 15, 14, it says, and Caleb drove out thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, notice what Caleb says now. He says, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. I find it interesting, but Caleb, he goes to the people, he says, whoever's willing, whoever can take this Kirjath-Sepher, hey, I'll give you my daughter to wife. You know, and you think people would be like, hey, I'll do it. Yeah, I can do it. But notice who does it. It says, notice, and Othniel, notice, the son of Kenaz, notice, the brother of Caleb, took it. I find it interesting, but the one man who actually steps up and says, you know, I can do it, was actually Caleb's nephew. It says, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, is the brother of Caleb. I wonder if Othniel was busy watching his uncle in his life, Caleb, having this can-do attitude, who says, yeah, I can do it. And here we have Caleb saying, whoever takes this, guess what? They can have my daughter. And the one man who steps up, oh, what a coincidence. Hey, it's Caleb's nephew. Why? Because when you have this can-do attitude, this spirit about you that says, no, we can do this, guess what? People will follow you. You will affect other people. And so think about the places that you're involved in, the people around you. You know, are you the one that brings positivity into wherever you are in life? Be the person who says, no, we can do this. And here we have Othniel saying, you know what, I can do it. And I bet he got it from watching his uncle, Caleb, being a guy who just gets it done, who says we can do it. It says, and Othniel, son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. But not just that, here we have Aksa, who is that? That's Caleb's daughter. And I want you to notice the type of person that she was. In verse 18, it says, notice, and it came to pass as she came unto him, notice, that she, this is the daughter, moved him to ask of her father a field. Here we have Aksa says, you know what, I want some blessings in my life too. I'm a go-getter myself, just like my dad is. She moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? I find it interesting, but Aksa goes to her new husband, and she says, hey, you tell Caleb what I want, but Caleb says, I already know. What is it that you want? Because I know you're my daughter. You know, and when you're around people who are just go-getters, they can do, guess what? That makes other people like that as well. He says, well, what is thou? Verse 19, who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south end. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and another spring. See, Caleb had a positive influence in his family. Caleb being someone who says, no, we can do it. Guess what? People followed that. People emulated that. And like, this is why, you know, thank God for our pastor who inspires us, who gives us that can-do attitude. And that's why, look, this is why people change. This is why you have a can-do attitude. This is why your life is able to change. Why? Because you've been inspired to get this vision in your life as to how things can be. And look, this is a good thing. But you realize that you, like you in your own personal life, you have the ability to inspire those around you by having the positive can-do, a positive spirit that says, no, we can do this. That says, no, yeah, I can live for the Lord. That says, yeah, I can do what God wants me to do. And you will affect those around you. And so if you, in your home, you want a good attitude in your home, then why don't you be the person to bring that in? Be the person who says, no, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And like you can be the one to influence that home in a positive way. Why? Because look, a can-do attitude inspires potential. They get the best out of other people. They get people to become what they themselves may not see yet, but maybe you see it and they're following you. See why? Because the can-do spirit provokes good in others. Go to Hebrews 10, if you would. Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is something, you know, I think about as a dad a lot. You know, one thing I hope to instill in my children is this attitude that says, if God says it, then guess what? We can do it. And look, and as parents, we had to realize that we have that power where we can instill in our children an ability to become something great or to think of themselves as nothing. Because if we always tell our kids, no, you can't do it, no, it can't be done, then guess what? They're going to grow up thinking to themselves, I guess I just can't do it. I guess it can't be done. But if you instill a sense of hope, a sense, no, son, you can do this. No, daughter, you can do this. You can live for the Lord. You can be a soul winner. Then guess what? They're going to grow up thinking, hey, I can do this. It can be done. But same way, when we come to church, you know, we come to church to inspire each other. We had to encourage one another. Hebrews 10, like verse number 24, it says, notice, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, when we come to church, we do what? We provoke each other. Not just unto love, but also unto good works and to actually do something. You see, how's it done? Well, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, notice, but exhorting one another. And exhorting is to do what? Is to encourage. Is to say, hey, you can do it. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Like, you got to be the person who, when they go to you and they say, hey, I think I want to preach my first sermon. Don't say, you know, you can't do it. No, you say, you know what? Do it. Praise the Lord. You know, you're going to do great. If you're the person, someone goes up to you and says, I think I want to talk today. He's like, stay quiet. No. Say, you know what? Praise the Lord. If you think you can do it, then do it. You know, encourage people. And say, you know, it can be done. You know, somebody says, hey, I think I want to start my own business. Then do it. You can do it. We'll pray for you. It can be done. Exhorting one another daily. Be the person who encourages, not just spreads negativity, You know, Pastor says we're going to do this project. Let's do it, Pastor. Let's get behind it. Let's get it done. Don't be the person who just spreads. No, it can't be done. No, that's not going to work. No, we need to have a good attitude, a can-do attitude. Why? Because it will inspire the best in other people. Go back, if you would, to Joshua 14. Joshua 14. So a can-do attitude, what does it do? It sees potential. It sees the positive where most people see the negative. A can-do attitude, it sees what can be. It inspires potential in others. And number three tonight, a can-do attitude reaches their own potential. A can-do attitude reaches their own potential. I want you to notice what it says about this man, Caleb. You know, Caleb was a man who I consider a success in the Christian life. You know, Caleb was a man who fought many battles, who had a great walk with the Lord. He had great faith. He had that strength all the way until he was 85. And even at 85, he was a man who had a great vision. Joshua 14, look at verse number 10 again. Notice, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet, as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Again, now therefore, notice, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You know, I believe that Caleb was a man who reached his full potential in life. A man who was able to look at something that seemed impossible and says, you know what, I want that mountain. A man who got sustained, who got strengthened throughout his entire life. You see, Caleb was a man who reached his potential. Why? Because he had a can-do attitude. But the sad truth is that, you know, that most Christians don't reach their potential. Most Christians, as we see in their story, they spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness and going nowhere in life. Go to Deuteronomy 1, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy 1. But see, Caleb, he was able to make it to the promised land. Caleb, he was able to make it strong in the end. Go to Deuteronomy 1. But sad truth is, you know, many Christians spend 40 years going in circles, fighting the same battles, going nowhere, and they never make it into that promised land, into the abundant Christian life that God has for them. Deuteronomy 1, look at verse number 34. It says, notice, and the Lord heard the voice of your words, in verse 34, and was wroth and swear, saying, notice, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land. But notice what it says. It says, which I swear to give unto your fathers. You see, God had promised them that land. And God says, hey, it's yours, but they didn't get it. They didn't believe it. And the sad truth is, you know, there's many promises in the Bible that God says you can have this. But sadly, you know, many people don't get there in life. You know, God says, yeah, you can have this type of life, this type of attitude in your home, a good Christian atmosphere in your home. But sadly, people spend 40 years just in circles. God says, yeah, you can defeat that sin in your life. But sadly, many people, they just wander in circles and they never make it. You know, why is it that Caleb was able to make it? See, Caleb realized, a can-do attitude realizes, you know what, I may not be able, but guess what? God is able to do this for me. See, a can-do attitude realizes, hey, it's not in me that can do this. But see, but there's a God in heaven who can do this for me. Go to Numbers 14, if you would. Numbers 14. See, it's not that, well, if we just believe something's going to happen, it's just going to happen by osmosis. No, a can-do attitude realizes, you know what, I probably can't do this, but you know what, God is able to do this for me. Numbers 14, I want you to notice the attitude that Caleb has. Numbers 14, look at verse number 8. Notice what he says. He says, notice, if the Lord delight in us. Caleb's not saying, hey, yeah, I can do this all by myself. No, he said, if the Lord delight in us, then notice, he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. See, Caleb realized, look, we may not be able. Like in the flesh, look, the Christian life, it can't overtake you. But you know what? God is able to take you to the end. God is able to strengthen you, to be with you. If the Lord delight in us, notice, then he will bring us into this land. Go back to Deuteronomy 1, if you have Deuteronomy chapter 1. See, Caleb didn't think he could do it, but he knew that the Lord could do it. And a can-do attitude, look, you can do all things, but it's through Christ. Deuteronomy 1. But I want you to notice what it says, Deuteronomy 1, verse 36. Notice. Deuteronomy 1:36, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Notice, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children. Notice what it says. It says, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. It also says that God allowed Caleb to go in. Why? It says because he hath wholly followed the Lord. You see, too often what we do is we focus on the giants, on the obstacles. We focus on how things can't be done. But God says, if you'll just focus on just following the Lord, then guess what? I can get you there. See, Caleb was able to go because his focus wasn't on the obstacles. It was on just obeying the word of God. And look, this is where success comes down to. Success in the Christian life comes down to you following the Lord. And look, you could believe something's going to happen, but if you're not following the Lord, if you're not obeying the Bible, then look, this is where success comes in the Christian life. Go to Joshua 14, if you want. Joshua 14. Joshua 14, look at verse number 7. It says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to test me at the line. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Notice verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But notice what Caleb says. He said, but I, notice, wholly followed the Lord my God. See, Caleb said, you know what? I wasn't like the rest. I wasn't focused on how things can't be done. I was just focused on one thing, wholly following the Lord. And look, in your life, you got to realize that you could spend 40 years in the same mess in your life when all the while God says, you know what? I'm giving you that land, but it's only based on you doing one thing, just following the Lord, obeying the Bible. And Caleb was a man who he said, you know what? I wholly obeyed the word of God. I wholly followed it. I'm not saying we're sinless, obviously. But I'm saying you ought to just choose to be the person who wholly follows the Lord. Whatever the obstacles come. And look, this is the way that you will succeed. Go to Joshua 1, if you would. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1. See, having a can-do attitude realizes that you can't do it, may not be able to do it. But guess what? God can do it. Joshua 1, look at verse number 8. Joshua 1, 8. It says, notice, this book of the law. Here we have, of course, God speaking to Joshua. Because look, it doesn't matter if it's Joshua or Caleb or you or me or anyone. This is what the Bible says. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Notice, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, the Bible says that we ought to think about the word of God, read the word of God, listen to the word of God. Why? So that we can observe to do all. Wholly follow the Lord. And look, this is something that you must choose for yourself. Because look, it makes no difference if it's a bunch of giants, whatever the circumstances in your life. Look, if you choose to wholly follow the Lord, then God will get you there. It says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice it says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, a can-do attitude realizes, hey, you know what? God can do it. I may not be able to, but how's it done? Well, it's done by you not focusing on the obstacles and just focusing on wholly following the Bible, wholly following the commandments. Go to Philippians 4, if you go to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And we have Caleb, who was able to make it to the promised land with his strength intact. And how was it done? Was it done because Caleb's just his bodybuilder? No. It was done because he wholly followed the Lord. And it's funny, but those people who didn't go in, they just feared the whole time. And they found a bunch of excuses why it couldn't be done. And guess what? It wasn't done. But if you would just focus in your life to do one thing, just obey the word of God, then guess what? God can see you through anything. Philippians 4, look at verse number 13. Notice it says, I can do, notice, all things, notice, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Bible says we can do all things. Hey, this can-do attitude, right? This is what we want. We want to succeed in life. We can do all things, but how's it done? It's done through Christ. It's done through you obeying the word of God. And look, don't leave that part out. Because look, it makes whatever you find yourself in, whatever obstacles you find yourself in, look, you can succeed in that area. It's done how? It's done through Christ, through you obeying the Bible. Go back to Joshua. Go back to Numbers 14, if you would. Numbers 14. I'm sorry, go to Joshua 14. Joshua 14. See, a can-do attitude it reaches their potential. And look, you got to have a vision for your own life. You know, I have a vision for the kind of man that I want to be in the future. You know, I'm not there yet. I have a vision for it. Can I do it? Me? No, but I guess I'm hoping God can do it. You know, you got to have a vision for how you want to be as a Christian, what you want. And realize, look, God can get you there. Joshua 14, look at verse number 12. Notice what it says. Notice what Caleb said. He said again, "Now therefore, notice, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." But notice what he says. He says, "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." See, Caleb, he didn't change. He didn't get to the end and says, "Yeah, I've done it this long, I can do it now." He said, no. He said, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. And here we have Caleb doing what? Taking over a mountain full of giants and fenced cities, an 85-year-old man. But he realized, guess what? It's not in me, it's in the Lord. And so you gotta ask yourself, you know, what are the mountains in your life that you wanna succeed? You know, a mountain that I have is in my home with my kids, raising them up for the Lord. Is in my own Christian walk, being able to live for the Lord. Like, you gotta have some mountains in your life that you say, you know what, I want that mountain. I wanna be able to be that soul winner, to be that godly spouse, to be a godly child, to be a light in the world, to be the person God wants me to be. You know, look, what is that mountain that you want to conquer? And realize, look, you can do it. And there's a million reasons why you could say, well, I can't do it. But no, God says you can't do it. And if you keep thinking I can't do it, then guess what? Don't worry, you won't do it. So just get this can-do attitude in life that says, you know what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for our church, Lord, and for your word. And I just pray that you be with each one of our lives. Help us to put you first in all we do. Help us to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And I just thank you for everything you've given us, God. I just pray that you be with us tonight, Lord. And we love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.